Save big on your landscape project at Menards. Whether you're shopping for edgers, pavers, or wall blocks, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block ready to take home today. Build a beautiful border for your landscape with our interlock edgers on sale now through March 22nd. Save big on landscape block at Menards. Also, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hi there, we are James and Dan, two forts of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That's amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, guys, welcome to the Goodish Girls. My name is Dallas, and today I have a wonderful guest. We have Miss Taylor Ash from Ash Studios. So welcome, Miss Taylor. Thank you for hanging out with us today.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to get to come on to podcasts like this and chat and just geek out over our shared love of books, you know?
Yeah. Yes, books and lots of music, right?
And music, yes, yes.
Yeah, so for our listeners, you may already know Taylor Ash, but if you do not, you might know some of her work from her full album called Anorath Moore, which is based off of Quicksilver. You may know her from the full album for the movie The Cauldron, Chapter 65. And you may also know her from one of my favorite ones, which is basically she recreated the Pink Pony Club, but if it was for Bridgerton.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
It's
yes.
So good.
Thanks.
It's so good.
Thank you.
Or you might also know her as the wonderful musician who created the intro for our podcast that you just heard today as you logged on to listen.
Yeah.
So welcome to our show. You've done amazing things. I love
thank you.
Like being a snoop through your profile.
Oh my gosh.
And being like, what's she working on now?
Yeah, it's been a crazy journey for sure.
Yeah. And you have such a fun niche too, because I feel like the BookTok community is oversaturated in a lot of areas, right?
Right.
Like the unboxings, and I'm not gonna lie, we love to do an unboxing, right?
Oh,
or like
God.
There's
who
so many bookish yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah,
right.
But like,
and there's
but
so
yeah.
many bookish podcasts, but there really isn't musicians out there who are like structuring their sound for BookTok or based off of books.
Right.
So it's so cool that you're getting to do that.
Right. Yeah. No, it's for sure like a new kind of niche of music for sure. And we have, there's a few of us. We have like me, and then you might have seen a couple of videos with my colleague, Lindsay. We run Duology Music House together, which we realized that we were like, wait, this is something. This is like new. And I think we were thinking like we are professional film composers by trade. Mm-hmm. So that's like kind of where we started is like composing for picture, but then we're in our both of us in our free time we're like, hey, like what if we did this for books, like because like books are so in your head, but I feel like most yeah. of us visualize books as movies, so mm-hmm. we were like, this is some like I feel like this is something that people would enjoy, and having yeah. those soundtracks as you're reading to the books, or like just something as you're thinking about the books, that kind of thing. So mm-hmm. yeah it's been super fun to dive into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I love that you work with other creators as well. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that you've worked with like Lou Adathian's It
right.
Girl on some
yeah,
of her music.
Right,
as well.
Yeah.
So it's cool because she's bringing a character to the scene and then you're bringing the music to the scene to make
right.
like a beautiful masterpiece. And it is amazing, right? Because we do a lot of times envision like when we're reading as a movie, but I'm learning a lot of people out there who don't have that ability. where they're reading a book and they actually can't envision it in their brains. Yes. Like our host Cassidy has that. Alex Astor, the author, has that, where they can't see that. So I think it's so amazing that they now have these tools that they can use to help them be able to get into these stories as they're reading.
Yeah, I hope it. That makes me happy. I hope it would help people like that who have a harder time visualizing, because I do think that music is such a powerful tool in both visual and non-visual media. Like, you know, imagine a movie with no music. Like, imagine like Harry Potter with no music. You know what I mean? It's just like there's no magic. It's like
around.
So much less magical. You know what I mean? So yeah, right. They're all just flying around in their silent spell casting and stuff. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So that's really cool. I didn't ever really think about it that way.
Yeah, and I love it. I love that you're doing it. I think it's really amazing, and I hope that you continue on this like musical bookish journey that you have for us.
Oh my
gosh. So, and I'd like to know at the end, like, what you kind of have in store. So if you have anything that you want to tell us about, I am here for it. But I do want to start. I want to talk about the process of making the intro for our song, because that is like something that's personal to us and to me, right? So I reached out and I was like, hey, Taylor, like, I love your stuff. I would love if you made something for us. Like, I want to collaborate with you. So, and then you took my jumbled words trying to describe what I wanted and you made it into a masterpiece. And I don't know
how
you did it.
Thank you. Well,
so,
yeah.
I feel like my emails were all over the place.
Not, you know, honestly, one of the other podcasts I did, they literally gave me like almost nothing. They said upbeat, which could mean so many different things.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's helped. Like sometimes, you know, like you have creative freedom then, and that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like I often find like people usually have something in their head that they want, but maybe don't have the words to say it. Because like, you know, I don't expect everyone to talk music theory, talk that kind of thing. So, but you gave me some really good like points, like jumping off points. Like you said, I think you said piano.
Mm-hmm.
And was it like it was upbeat? I could even go back in the email and look exactly what you said.
I tried to sound like I took one music class in college.
Yes. No,
and I was like, I can say words.
It was not as jumbled as you think. I think so.
Okay, good.
I had a great jumping off point. And also just knowing the kinds of books you were saying, it was kind of a blend of fantasy and dark romance that also helped. And we kind of, in the editing process, honed in on that dark romance a little bit more, right?
Yep, we did.
So we like, we're like, the first draft was like, okay, this is definitely fantasy. We hear the fantasy. How can we make this a little bit darker at the end? And then we added electric guitar. And so I think,
which was chef's kiss.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Thank you.
What it needed.
When I picture dark romance, I don't know why, but I always picture like rock music. It's just definitely more on the modern side as opposed to high fantasy. It's definitely more like orchestral, you know?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. Like electric guitar, the bass.
Yeah.
Like
drums. Yeah.
This Farfetch, like Youngblood.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Like
he is
picturing
dark romance for me.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It's like that and Sleep Token. Like I also think Sleep Token a bit too, you know, like that kind
Very
of vibe sometimes.
So.
That's a little more cinematic side, but you know, like that.
Yeah, more mysterious.
More like that real dark, mysterious kind. But
yes.
But the gritty, 100%. Like, dark, no, for sure, Youngblood, absolutely.
And I had listened to the original version that you sent over multiple times, and I was like, it's so good. And I was like, it's so, so good. I said, but it's not. So I was like, something is missing from
for
it.
Sure.
But I didn't know what. And I almost felt bad, like, responding and being like, I need
to.
And I know you said, you were like, change it as much as you want, like, whatever you need to do. But I was like, how do I critique such a beautiful 20 seconds of sound? I was like, how do I tell her that I want different?
Oh, my gosh. No, that is like, I would say like 85% of my job, though, is figuring out what that is and really honing in on exactly what's in your head when I can't hear it. You know what I mean? So you did wonderful. And you know, and we got there, luckily, pretty fast, I would say. So, one edit is nothing.
Okay. Whew. The people pleaser in me was like, no, we have to keep
I'm
it.
Glad.
Like,
I'm
no,
glad you said it, because that's, and now we have what we have today. And I'm just so happy you guys are so happy with it. So.
Oh, I love it. And the girls loved it too. When they listened to her, they were like, what?
Oh, I'm
it
so
was
happy.
So good. I showed everybody at work. I showed my husband. I was like, hey, listen to the sound. Hey, you didn't listen to this.
I'm so honored. Oh my goodness.
Imagine knocking door to door. Hello, I'd like to show you this soundtrack.
I'd like to present this to you.
Yeah, please listen to the intro of my podcast. Well, and I feel like it seems small, but I do feel like it's really important. Like when you have a favorite podcast, you mm-hmm. know their sound. Right? Like 100%. I know my favorite podcast sounds by heart.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I wanted something like that, right? Our goal, obviously, is for our podcast to grow. So when we eventually become someone's favorite podcast, absolutely. I want them to be like, I know that sound.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I know that.
Yeah, we call that in like our world, we call it sonic identity. And that's Ooh. Always like what we strive for in terms of like you want those little sound bits, those things that those little noodly mm-hmm. melodies that just get stuck in your head. Like that is really, really important. And in almost every aspect of media, I think, you know, people often overlook music as an element a lot of times and mm-hmm. feel OK just doing plopping anything on there. But it really makes a difference when, you know, I'm biased. Obvious.
I feel like you make a fair point, though. Mm-hmm. I think you can tell the difference when you watch something or you listen to something and you can tell when the music doesn't quite fit as it should.
Right.
Versus when you hear something where you can tell that someone really put time and effort and love into the sound that's going behind the picture.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So
For
I
sure.
love that. So when you are making music based on a book, does the author reach out to you? Right, like I reached out to you, or are you picking books mostly just based on books that you love?
Both. So I work on a commission base. So a lot of times an author will reach out to me and we do a very similar process to what we did, mm-hmm. except it's like maybe it's a character theme or just a main theme for their book. And we just really get, I always try to read the book if I can. And, but sometimes it's like not fully written yet. Sometimes we like are in that process where like we're trying to release the book with the music at the same time, that kind of process. Mm-hmm. But I also just love doing it. So like I started just doing this for fun. So I always call it like, I don't want to call it a palate cleanser, but like a, I don't want to burn myself out and hate my job is like me composing for books that I love and that I hear music for. So like recently I did Red Rising, and that was super fun because that's like different for me because it's more sci-fi fantasy. So it was fun, like kind of experimenting with different instrumentation. And I'm currently working on Will of the Many, which is another kind of sci-fi leaning one.
That's going to be.
Yeah, I'm super excited. Yeah, I'm really enjoying just doing that process and writing that one. So excited about that.
And is the Red Rising one available?
Yes, it's out.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
And is that a song or a full album?
It's just a song. So it's a single.
A song. Yeah. Okay. Perfect. So I kind of want to circle back to the Anorath more. What was your process in creating that? Because obviously, for anyone that's listened to our show, like we've deep dove Quicksilver, we've deep dove Brimstone, like we've talked to Callie and Anthony and Stella, like that book specifically is a huge part of my life and the girls.
Absolutely.
So tell me about that song specifically.
Sure. Yeah. So that was in one of my fun songs. Because I had really enjoyed reading Quicksilver. And so I really wanted like metallic. Well, obviously the Anorath more like it starts with like these whispering. It's supposed to represent like the Quicksilver pool and like how Ceres hears those whispers from the Quicksilver all the time. Mm-hmm. And then we get these kind of like drums, which are like boom. It's like supposed to be like a forge hit kind of that.
Yeah.
That. And then other than that, it's more like just like these melodies that I hear in my head while I'm reading and these kind of like tone qualities. I've got some like Middle Eastern instruments to kind of represent, oh gosh, why am I blanking on the place she's from?
Zavarn.
Thank you so much. And I just read Brimstone too, but like I square my brain with the fantasy names. But so that's supposed to represent because it's like kind of got these two suns, it's hot, it's deserts. We have some more Middle Eastern style instruments, that kind of thing. And then we move into the more classic fantasy, but it also gets some electric guitar because Kingfisher to me is dark romance. He gives dark romance.
Oh, 100%.
So I'm like, I need some like gritty, like Kingfisher vibes here. So it's like supposed to be kind of a main theme that's like taking you through the world. And like, I always picture it as like, if you were shooting it like a movie, you're like seeing these like mini scenes and like overviews of the places that you go in the book and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Callie reached out and she really loved it. And It was super special. She's such a sweetheart, and I'm sure you guys know because you've talked to her.
Oh, yeah, she's so nice.
He is the best. So that was really cool because not often do the authors reach out for the music that I write. And I don't expect them to ever. So like, but yeah. so that was really special that she actually.
And that is surprising though.
Yeah.
Like for someone to like make music based on the book. I don't know. I'm not an author. I think I would probably reach out, but I'm like.
But I do it because I love it. And I don't do it for the like attention from the author. I do it as mostly fan service, you know, as like for people like us who read the books and who are, you know, so that's, you know, and because, yeah, it brings me joy. And I love it.
That's true. And we love that you do it. So, yeah. And then do you listen to the audiobook at all? And when you're listening to the audiobook, do you think of music or is it harder to listen to an audiobook because of those like melodies in your brain?
Yeah. So it depends. Like I am usually I'm a Kindle girly because I usually read at night and it puts me to sleep. And so that's how I'm reading currently. Mom life, as you know.
Yes.
And so when I do an audiobook, I usually will try to do a graphic audio, and then it is a bit harder to because they have music in it.
Yeah.
But if I am just listening to a regular, it's the same as if I was reading it. Like I still am hearing things, even if there's like voices and stuff. Sometimes it's even better because I almost can picture like it more like a movie, which is always kind of how I picture it in my head.
Is that something that you're interested in? Is like doing the sounds for like the graphic audios?
Oh yeah, I get tagged in that all the time. So I'm like, hey, graphic audio, whenever you're ready, I'm here for you.
Right. What do they have people or how?
I don't know.
It's where hard do they get their music from? I wonder.
Some people do like. I don't want to like assume what they do, but I know there is such a thing as like stock music that you can find and like, you know, go on and get like royalty free music and use that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's one of those situations where like you just kind of have to make the music fit with what you're doing. Whereas like if you're getting a score, we're composing to the material. So it's so much easier if there's like hit points or anything like that to like get the music to flow exactly how you want. But
yeah,
obviously. It's personal preference always. So,
yeah, that makes sense. So, I noticed you mentioned that you finished Brimstone first.
Yes.
What did you think?
I loved it. Yeah. So, it was definitely a huge expansion of the original, I think. You know, the end, what?
Wild.
So crazy.
Wild.
Yeah. Now I'm like, oh, no, yeah. I love and I hate a cliffhanger. Like, I'm like, I just want to know what happens, but, you know, I'm excited to have the wait and the anticipation again for all of that. But I enjoyed it. I really did. Yeah.
And we really don't have to wait that long, like November.
Oh, my God. Really?
This year. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. That's great.
And she did confirm in an interview. So we don't have to wait that long. So November 10th, 2026, as of right now, is on Amazon, but right now all it says is Fae and Alchemy series number 3 by Callie Huff.
Yes. Okay. That no title or anything. I'm sure though, because they're gonna do a whole rollout for that though. But
for sure.
All I'm thinking is like, oh no, poor Callie. She's been just like slaving away at that. You know what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, but and she's been working on this story. The story has lived in her mind rent free for so long.
Yeah.
That
she's just now like that.
Exactly. Right. And even when we were talking to her, like in our interview with her for like before Brimstone came out, she was like, I sacrificed so many things, but I want to be here. I want to be in front of the computer. I want to be at the keyboard. I want to be making this story and putting this out. So I hope that it's not as like tiring for her. I do hope she's taking some time for like herself.
Like how, you know, like
she deserves it. But
like Rebecca Yarros is burning herself out too, you know. I'm worried about authors sometimes. You know?
I know. We worry about you guys. I'm interested to see how Callie wraps up the Fae and Alchemy series because there's only 3 books. And
okay, I was going to say, is this the last?
2 novellas. So book, 2 novellas. I'm pretty sure one is going to be for Carrion. Obviously not the cover isn't, you know what I mean? So I think it could change. But as far as I know, it's going to be one for Carrion and then the other one we don't know. Mm-hmm. I have my guesses, but I have no actual, like, factual evidence.
Right,
but
for sure.
How on earth is she going to wrap up this entire story?
Yeah, because we introduced a lot of plot points in
Grimstone.
I'm like, and there was like, I felt like there was new magic that I wasn't necessarily like.
So much. Yeah, small magic. Like, lots of small magics.
And just like different like lore drops and that, yeah, the rune thing. And I'm like I low-key got confused a couple of times, but like I also didn't really do a proper reread of the first book. So that is probably on me. You know what I mean? So like that was probably on me.
Yeah. Which is okay.
Yeah. I always feel like I always run out of time because I'm usually reading a book for like for work and then also reading a book for fun. And then, you know, so I'm always like, when can I fit a reread in? I don't know, you know, so.
You don't know. That's so why I love me. You can just text me.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely.
I'll tell you all the things.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Me. So.
Are you planning on doing any sort of songs for Brimstone? Like, did you find any of those moments inspiring enough?
Oh, there was one that I was like, when they were in, gosh, where it like, it was the like place with the beaches. And after like they portaled there and then they battled people and then they were at the place with
like Inishchar, like with the like with the satyrs.
Yes. And they all were singing that song when Carrie, like, I mean, that was just like,
yes,
like music on the page for me. You know what I mean? They're like, so that caught my attention.
That's a good one. He's like, I really like your
horn. Sure. Yes. So I love Carrion. I love him.
He's the best. Yes, he's the best. There was a moment that I, when I was going to ask you this question, I thought of it because when I had talked to Callie, we were talking, and I think she gaslighted me. Callie, hi, see you, wherever you are. Because I was like, she's like, I, you know, I always imagine like Saeris and Kingfisher like dancing to this beautiful contemporary song. And she gave us an example of a song. And then I was like, they could, right? Like they could dance. And she's like,
right.
They're really busy doing war and stuff. They have to get through a lot. And then I was reading Brimstone and they were dancing. And I was like, he literally twirled her. If this is not contemporary, yes. I don't know what is.
Yes,
I was 100%. Like, she gaslit me.
Yep, 100%. So.
And that was a moment that I was like, it'd be so cool if that was the moment that inspired you to like write the song that they were dancing to.
Oh, 100%. And isn't it that right after that when like stuff starts happening like in the Blood Court, because that could be fun, that beautiful dancing melody into like some chaotic crazy like that. Oh, fun.
Ooh, yeah. I would love to
I have thoughts and ideas for sure.
Things are brewing. I'm obsessed. I love that. Do you ever feel nervous, like you make this beautiful art, right? Like you put all these pieces together and then eventually you like release it into the world. Like I know when I talk to authors, sometimes they feel nervous about giving their whole story to people to just do with what they want and judge how they want and listen 100%. To what they want or read how they want. Is that something that you feel when you release something like this?
100% every single time. Yes. Oh my gosh. It's because like it's really like this little piece of your heart that like you are just like being like, hi, here's this. And then like, I have been so lucky, though, like really, like my music is mostly well received. Like I really don't get too many horrible comments, which is great. Honestly, until recently when I started writing for things like Red Rising, which has a more like no offense, has a bit more of a male fan base. But that's when I started getting some meaner comments about certain things, you know, and I'm like,
really?
Yeah. But, you know, they ain't going to scare me away because I love those books and there's room for everyone in all of these spaces, every kind of person. So, you know, I'm a big proponent of that. But yeah, every time I release music, it's always a little nerve-wracking to see how it's going to be received. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just take all of the hate comments and then make a soundtrack to them.
Yeah, I know.
And we'll have a narrator read them.
Perfect. And it's like really epic. It's just like, dun, 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 dun. And I need someone with like a really deep voice to read them for me, though. You know what I mean? So it's like a movie trailer almost. Wait, no, this is actually a really funny idea.
I'm here for it.
I kind of love that. That's so funny.
Would listen to it. Yeah, they gather all the comments. We're going to have someone read them. We'll call Anthony Palmini. We'll call him right now.
Oh my gosh.
I'll talk to him. I'll message him and be like, hey, can you read these hate comments for us? She's going to make a soundtrack.
My gosh. That's hilarious.
That's a dream. I mean, what else are you supposed to do with a comment, right? Like,
yeah.
To make fun of it because what they need to I never, do better things with their time.
I don't take them to heart because most of them are honestly low-key kind of funny. Like, I mean, like, for example, one of them was like, someone was like, wow, like, this is great. Like, you're like the next Hans Zimmer, which of course, like, relax, that's fine. But like somebody else in the comments was like, okay, relax. It's not that good, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and then they're talking back and forth as if I'm not there in the conversation, like as if they're not in my comments, this conversation.
That's
I'm just like,
so weird.
Hi, guys.
You're like, actually, hi, I'm here. Stop blowing up my phone with notifications.
It's literally so fun. I honestly can't help but laugh at it because I'm just like, people are so silly with what they think they can say and not say or whatever. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
They type the comment out and they hit send and then they go on with their day.
And
right?
Then that's it. Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
But would they ever say that in real life?
No.
They would just nod and agree. Yeah. Exactly. So what other books are on your radar for the future?
So me and Lindsay are working on A Night in Moth piece, Rachel Gillig, which we were obsessed with that book. It's so beautiful. Yeah. You haven't read it. Highly, highly recommend. Very beautiful. And then in like on the list per se, I mean, there's always more Throne of Glass music because that's like one of my favorite series of all times. Mm-hmm. Obviously, like Brimstone has been like on that, the book Mistborn, like the Mistborn series. Also, really, I finished that in early fall and I really loved that and have really vague ideas for the sound world for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I do have a very large list. I literally have a list on my phone, but like, it's just like every time I read, it's like every book I read, I think of something. So it's a matter of like, I'm kind of a mood writer in terms of when I'm picking something to write for next, I'm like, what am I in the mood to write kind of? And then I'll just like pick from that list. So yeah, so that's lots coming, hopefully. Right now, though, I'm fitting it in between actual client work, which is great and wonderful. And I love actually doing my job and getting paid to do my job.
Yeah.
It's not been as fast as it used to be to release music on my own because I'm busier, which is awesome. So no complaints there.
So when you say like your job or your career portion, that's not like the bookish scene. Mm-hmm. Is there something that we would maybe recognize that you are like working on or something that you have done before? Yeah. Or is there anything that you're working on now and that is exciting that you can tell us about?
So obviously film work, like, I mean, we worked in fantasy, in the fantasy realm. We've done with Whimsy Gossip, they did the fan films. So we've done both of their bigger production fan films, so Chapter 70 and Chapter 65. And Chapter 65 just was the one we had mentioned in the beginning. So that just came out. We are working on a few different film projects. The biggest thing that came out last year was we got to work with the TTRPG company Critical Role for, they had a wedding episode that was at Radio City Music Hall, and we wrote the like wedding processional for the character Jester, which is like a beloved character in this community. So that was super cool because we had music premiered at Radio City Music Hall, which was insane. Mm-hmm. It was premiered then in theaters the next week. And now it's out on streaming services. It's called Sapphire of the Sea. It's just like a little cute wedding processional, very pretty, very uses some of the themes from Critical Role's campaigns and that kind of thing. So people who are into TTRPGs would be interested in that, I think. And then in that same vein, we are writing the main theme for Daggerheart, which again is part of Darrington Press, which is Critical Role's publishing company. And that, we don't have a date on when that main theme comes out, but it will be out hopefully in the first quarter of this year. We'll see. But it's been announced and everything. So that's exciting.
That's incredible. Wow. What was it like? You have your music literally playing in a theater.
That was really crazy. Yeah, it was super, super special. Like, tears were shed. It was super fun. And it was so fun to do it with Lindsay, who's like my book bestie, my real life like bestie, and like truly like the other half of my composing brain. So having that relationship with her and sharing that moment with her was truly like so special.
That's such a good moment. I love that you guys were able to share that together. And does she work on all of like your things with you, or does she work on
not
like,
all
just
of
certain things?
Mm-hmm. So we have like, if you see anything that says like the duology, that's us together. So it's like, so like chapter 65, you'll see the duology, Taylor Ash and Lindsay Dills. And that's like, that'll be like an R project. And then anything that just says my name is something that I've done through From Ash Studios, who it's just like, it gets confusing, I know. But at this point, it does feel like most of the projects I work on are with Lindsay. So, you know, yeah, Duology Music House is our like business, like, you know, our spearheaded like composition house. So, yeah.
Shout out to you, Lindsay, wherever you
are. Yeah. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay. And so if someone wants to, like, again, commission with you or work with you or, like, has an idea they want to throw your way, what is the best way that they can kind of get in contact with you? Is it your DMs? Is it email? Like, I know I went through your website and kind of searched around a little bit, did some investigating and then reached out. So was that the best way or is there a better way you prefer for people?
I definitely usually prefer emailing or like using the contact. I think that's what you did. You use the contact page on my website. And I do like I DMs are fine. Just sometimes they get lost if like there's like a requested, you know, Instagram's wonky sometimes and it's just get lost. So I always will see a direct or like a direct message from my website, though. So that's definitely the best way. And then there's some little things to fill out that help me just like give us a good jumping off point. And then we just get going. Yeah.
So exciting. And then where can we listen to all of your music? Where is it all available? Like Spotify?
All
just places. Like
all YouTube, the above. YouTube Music, Amazon Music, Apple Music. When we submit to like our distributors, you just check them all off and they get sent there. So they should be there. And if you're having a hard time, feel free to DM me or message me and I can hopefully help you and connect you with some. So,
yeah, get you all set up. Oh, amazing. That was so fun.
Thanks. Yes, this
Thank was you so fun. Much for joining.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
And then for those who do not follow Taylor online, Taylor, can you drop your socials for us so that way if they do want to DM you or follow you or check out your stuff, where do they go?
You can follow me at Taylor Ash Music or I've been mentioning a lot, Duology Music House. So at Duology Music House. That's also the collective I have with Lindsay Dills. So feel free to give that a follow as well because we post there a lot now.
Make sure to follow Taylor Ash, guys, and check it out for her music and see what she has coming next. So thank you again for joining us
today. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.